CBSI in the world. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're going into Earth orbit and then on to lunar orbit with SLS, 1:41 a.m. East Coast time. Bob Zimmerman is here to introduce us to what you didn't see that early in the morning on the 16th. Bob, a very good evening to you. Accidentally, I awoke right before the liftoff. It was exciting, but at the same time, long delayed. What have we learned about SLS and the Orion mission now underway? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, after 18 years of development and almost $60 billion, NASA finally this week completed the first unmanned test launch of its Space Launch System rocket, SLS. It took off successfully. There were a lot of things that could have gone wrong. It is the first launch of a rocket, and you know, those don't succeed very often. But it did successfully take off. It worked like clockwork. I give NASA credit in this respect. They had 18 years to do, make it work, so, you know, it shouldn't have failed. And they released the Orion capsule as well as 10 CubeSats on their way to the moon. And everything is operating properly as Orion moves to the moon. Orion's going to be spending about a week plus in a very wide lunar orbit. This is an orbit comparable to what Lunar Gateway will use. This is kind of similar to what Capstone is doing, the CubeSat that launched and was built and launched for less than $10 million compared to $60 million. But they're both going into the same kind of lunar orbit that Lunar Gateway will use, and they're testing that orbit, and they're also going to be testing Orion over a longer period of time. It'll be in space for about 26 days. It'll return around December 11th, and that will be, of course, testing the heat shield as it comes back from lunar space. We have to understand that though NASA has repeatedly lied and touted Orion as an interplanetary spaceship, it is nothing more than an overweighted, overpriced ascent-descent capsule for getting to up and down from Earth. You put people in it to get into orbit, and then it brings them back using a heat shield and a very comparable to Apollo capsule return. And so they're going to test that on its way back, and that will happen in mid-December. Celeste succeeded. Now, the next flight, they say, is going to be a manned flight, assuming that Orion comes back well. And I will tell you right now that I would have a lot of life insurance if I was one of those astronauts, because I don't consider SLS to be truly man-rated at this point with this single launch. But, you know, NASA's going to go ahead, and we might have a successful lunar mission, or we might not.
Bob, I've become accustomed to watching SpaceX launches, and one of the features that seems routine now is that after the launch, we switch to a camera on board to get the separation of the first stage. I didn't see that in the first 4 minutes of the launch, and I stopped watching when they went to a model of SLS in space. It wasn't the real thing, and they were just talking over it. Why didn't we see the separation?
That's a good question. NASA was very proudly pushed the fact that it had like 28 cameras on the rocket and on the capsule so they could watch everything. But for some reason, during the launch, they were not broadcasting those feeds, and I don't know why. It could be there was issues, but I think more likely, well, there could have been issues, but another possibility is they didn't want to give us those feeds for any number of reasons. And I can't tell you, I could speculate a lot of them. I'll let you people consider the possibilities. You know, if something goes wrong, you're broadcasting it. So this was a better way to hide that fact. But then again, it could just simply be they weren't working, or they just simply were focused on other things. When SpaceX does the launch, John, they're very cool-headed and quiet and calm. Very much like the 60s NASA mission control people,
right,
who,
right.
Very cool and calm. You're not emotional, not focused on how excited you are and cheering, just simply telling you what's going on. That's how SpaceX does it. NASA tends to alternate between doing that nowadays and mostly, though, a lot of propaganda and how you feel stuff. And it's kind of childish, and it also is distracting. And it also means they're not focused on broadcasting those feeds, possibly, John.
We go to a NASA award of a starship. For what, Bob?
Well, this followed almost immediately at the same time as the launch. NASA announced that it was going to award SpaceX's Starship a second manned lunar landing contract. It was actually a modification of their previous award. What they've done is the first award gave SpaceX the contract to create the manned lunar lander for the first Artemis lunar landing. This new modification of the contract awards SpaceX's Starship the second manned lunar landing in the Artemis program. NASA has a competitive contract bid going out for a second redundant lunar lander, but that has not been awarded yet, and it needs landers for the upcoming launches it hopes to do with SLS and Starship. So it has awarded SpaceX that contract. It's for a little over $1 billion. So far, SpaceX has garnered about $13 billion in development money for SpaceX, for Starship and Starlink, most for Starship. About $9 billion of that's from private investment capital, and about $4 billion from NASA. Most of the cash has been for Starship. Most of the money from NASA has not been paid out yet because it's for developing the lander of Starship, and SpaceX is right now focused on building the Starship orbital vehicle first. Once they've got that operating, we will begin major modifications for making it a lunar lander. But nonetheless, that's how much SpaceX is going to build and spend for this, $13 billion compared to $60 billion for SLS Orion.
Japan's manned space. They're staying on ISS, I learned from Bob, till 2030. That's a new number to me, Bob. I thought we were advancing well, in any event, what does this mean for future development?
Japan's made, following SLS launch, they always follow up with these propaganda announcements. Japan has made a deal with NASA whereby they will agree to remain in the partnership for ISS to 2030, which is what NASA would like everyone to agree to. They are the first international partner to agree to go till 2030. But in exchange, they've gotten a deal where they're going to get a Japanese astronaut to fly on a mission to the Lunar Gateway Station in orbit around the moon. Japan's contributing a lot of hardware for the Lunar Gateway, but this was an addition. They now got a Japanese astronaut going to fly to the station, and in exchange they stayed at ISS till 2030. ISS is probably going to go away before 2030. It all depends on how successful the commercial stations and how soon they get up into orbit and operation. But NASA wants to at least keep focused till 2030 because that gives them a sure overlap between the two.
Now, it is rocket science. There's an abort by ABL. What do we learn from this, Bob?
ABL is one of the small sat rocket startup companies that wants to join the market with launching satellites. Its rocket RS-1 was scheduled to launch this week. They scrubbed the first launch because of a valve. They fixed the valve. They tried again, and then at T-minus zero, just as the rocket ignited its engines, it shut down. It was an abort at launch, and so they now the vehicle is healthy, they say, and they're reviewing the data, and they have not yet announced when they're going to launch again. The present launch window closes on November 21st. I doubt they'll launch by that date, so we'll have to wait to see when they launch, try again. But there are many, two more different companies that are trying to get their first launches off this year from America, and so ABL is one of them, and they came close this time, John.
What is Skyroot? Skyroot.
Skyroot is a commercial rocket startup in India. It is actually the first Indian private company to complete a launch. It was not an orbital launch. It was a suborbital launch, on November 17th. They were basically testing a suborbital version of their Vikram rocket. Essentially, this might have been one of the stages thereof. And they were testing it, and they did a suborbital launch. Lasted about 5 minutes. They got up to 56 miles. A suborbital launch like this is not a new thing, but this was privately built and launched, and they used the facilities of India's Space Agency, which now makes that facilities available to private companies. And so they did this launch. I've got the embedded on my webpage if you want to watch it, John.
And we go to Germany. This is Rocket Factory Augsburg, looking for a test facility. What are they building, Bob?
They're another rocket startup. This is one of three in Germany that are building rockets to launch satellites. In many ways, these rocket companies are going to possibly replace the European Space Agency's Ariane Space. Well, Rocket Factory Augsburg has signed a contract with the German Aerospace Agency to use its engine test facilities to test its own rocket engines. Essentially, Germany has decided it's going to do what India did and what the United States NASA has done and support private companies rather than try to build their own stuff. And so they're now signed a lease, and they're going to be using these test stands to do static fire tests of the rocket.
And we go to Canada, another startup with a launch contract, a rocket balloon startup. How does it work, Bob?
This is a cool one. This is not a new idea, but there haven't been a lot of attempts to do it. The company is called SpaceRide. It's Canadian. They've gotten a launch contract with another company called Netherlands company for four launches. But what they do is they don't. Their first stage is not an does not come off an airplane. It doesn't launch vertically. It's on a high altitude balloon. They get up to a very high height on the balloon, and then they release their rocket second stage, which takes the satellite into orbit. That's their plan. They've raised money. They hope to do their first test flights next year with commercial flights in 2024. There's a lot going on here, John, without any doubt.
All right, let's go to Cornwall. The United Kingdom award a launch license to the airport, but not to the people at the airport yet. Is that correct?
That is correct. The United, what do you call it? Cornwall Airport calls itself Spaceport Cornwall, has wanted to launch rockets using Virgin Orbit's airplane, Terrier, that takes the rocket up to high heights and then launches it. And they wanted to do this in the summer. The Civil Aviation Authority in the United Kingdom has been really slow to issue licenses. They finally have issued a license to Cornwall to allow it to do these launches. They could have done this years ago, but they have not yet given Virgin Orbit its actual launch license. And so even though they're delayed now almost 3-4 months, it's still not done. And this is beginning to remind me of that meme, John, you might have seen, where you've got 30 officials standing around a single ditch digger who's the only one doing any real work. And right now it appears that there are more bureaucrats in the Civil Aviation Authority than there are staffing both Virgin Orbit and Cornwall. And all those bureaucrats have to do is issue a single piece of paper, and they can't do it.
All right. Now, what we've described is the pantheon of startups all over the world, Germany, India, and the United Kingdom, certainly in the United States. One result here is excitement for the future, for young people being recruited. Another is big space and its friends suddenly have to reorganize. And I believe that is a way to describe what Boeing is up to in its space division. What happened, Bob?
Boeing has announced a major reorganization, and it's not just its space, it's also its defense and its security divisions. They are going to reduce 8 different divisions into 4 and replace numerous and let go numerous executives. This was long overdue. Boeing has had so many recent engine failures in space with Starliner, in aviation with the 737 MAX, in its defense contracts with, I think, the F-35. They're just doing they've been doing a poor job, and it's mostly management. So they're doing a major reorganization. This was not unexpected with the bad economy and those bad management situations. Hopefully it'll get this company back on its feet. It faces, as you point out, John, intense competition from new companies. And if you don't compete, you don't survive.
Right. If there's enough ankle biters, you trip. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.